Well, when a salt-stained and weary Christopher Columbus set foot on what was to become the United States of America half a millennium ago, he probably didn't give a second thought to the prospect that he was the first of hundreds of millions who would come here in search of adventure, wealth, or perhaps just a better life. But here, where I am, is a legacy of exactly that. Schmitz is a restaurant in the city named after the Italian explorer. Its history dates back to the century before last, when the Schmidt family were amongst many Germans to settle down in Columbus, Ohio. This week it was another German settler who came to Columbus in the hope of booking safe passage for the USA to the 2014 World Cup.
I think, you know, the players, when they know they play in Columbus, that they have 100% support behind them. You know, it carries them, it gives them energy, it gives them confidence. And the other thing is then, you know, your opponent that hasn't won here for quite a while knows the difficult situation as well. So it is a psychological game at the end of the day. And absolutely, there is a psychological element, you know, in place here in Columbus, and it's definitely on our side.
As a player, Jürgen Klinsmann did it all. He won league championships, the European Championship with Germany, and the World Cup itself with West Germany a generation ago. Now he's in charge of the USA national team, and very in charge at that. The screams you can hear in the background are him taking part in training extremely vigorously. The USA team is as cosmopolitan as the cultural melting pot that exists in this huge country. Alongside the All-American boys like captain Clint Dempsey, goalkeeper Tim Howard and playmaker Landon Donovan are a couple of German-Americans, an Icelandic-American and a pair of Mexican-Americans for whom this match meant more than most. One of those is Jose Torres, the 25-year-old midfielder who was born to a Mexican father and American mother. He left his native Texas when he was just 15 years old, bound for Mexico, and a career, he hoped, in professional football.
It was something that I've always wanted, but it was difficult leaving my family at 15 and living on my own and maturing on my own. So I had to take the chance, and I told my parents, you know, this is what I want. I'm going for it. I flew down with my dad. He stayed there for a week, and after that, it was all on my own, you know. I didn't like it very much, but after that, you know, everything just started going uphill and started going well.
How difficult was the choice to pick the U.S. national team over Mexico?
Well, it was pretty tough because my dad's from Mexico, my mom's from Texas, and it was a hard choice. But I was born in the States, and the whole time I was in Mexico, U.S. was always interested in me. They never stopped looking at me. They would watch games, and I guess that's why I made that choice.
Is it right that you held out a bit just to see if Mexico would come in for you?
Yeah, I did. I didn't go to the Olympics because I was making my career there in Mexico, and I wanted to play there. But, you know, I was young. I didn't know what I wanted at the time. And I'm glad I chose the States, made it to a World Cup, you know, and I have a chance to make it to the second one.
Well, the American and Mexican media are gathered for the final press conferences before the match. And to give you an idea of how big this fixture is in those two countries, the American broadcaster, ESPN, has 220 members of staff accredited just to cover this game. That's the biggest commitment to a soccer match in the United States by any media company ever.
Tim Howard, goalkeeper, U.S. national team. It's huge. It's everything for us. It's everything for them, for both our federations and our countries, the fans. It's the biggest game you're playing. The way that the passion is and the passion overflows onto the field with the fans, and the Merseyside Derby is very special to me, but being as patriotic as we are, this is obviously up there in the top.
It's more than a game, you know. There's hard tackles, there's a lot of fouls. Most of my family, well, my dad's side is, you know, they're soccer fans. And every time a game come around Dallas or Houston, you know, we would always go watch the game. I was stuck on the Mexican side back then, but, you know, now I'm on this side.
Even though both teams lost their previous qualifier last Friday, their build-up to this match couldn't have been more different. The Mexicans suffered an Aztecazo, or a disgrace, at the Azteca Stadium when they lost 2-1 to Honduras. Their coach, Chepo de la Torre, was replaced by his assistant, Luis Fernando Tena, who won the Olympic gold medal last year. He admitted the team were at rock bottom and that he was partly to blame for it. Meanwhile, the night before the match, led by the rabble-rousing singing of the former USA international Frankie Hayduk, a pep rally took place in downtown Columbus. Jürgen Klinsmann and three players turned up to take questions from a few hundred lucky fans, amongst them young Gianna from New Jersey, who had this question for midfielder Michael Bradley.
I'd like some little advice for a midfield.
Where in New Jersey are you from? Where in New Jersey are you from?
Stafford.
Ah, what's your team called?
Celtics.
Okay, and you play midfield?
Yep.
In the center of the midfield?
Yep.
Okay. Do you run a lot?
Yeah.
Yeah? And do you score a lot of goals?
Yeah.
Do you win a lot of tackles for your team also? I think we found it then. As long as you love it, keep playing and keep enjoying it, and thank your mom every day when she brings you back home from practice. And I'm sure one day we'll all be watching you on the women's national team.
Wanted this game to be watched by as many American fans as possible, so they block sold 9,000 tickets to a supporters group called the Outlaws, who you can hear at the moment. And it may sound strange to suggest that a US home game might be dominated by away fans, but in the past, when they've played Latin American teams in this country, that's exactly how it's felt.
My name is Sunil Gulati, and I'm president of the United States Soccer Federation. A big game against Mexico with the large population from Mexico here, the number of fans supporting the U.S. gets drowned out often, or it's 50-50. So we wanted a way to manage that. We wanted a stadium that is much more compact, where fans are closer to the stadium, they can engage more in the game, and frankly, where the U.S. has a home field advantage. That's it in a nutshell. For our qualifying games, we want to make sure we are in a situation where we put the team in absolutely the best position to do well and to win the game. It's the first soccer-specific stadium that was built for Major League Soccer, and we've won every time. And we've won 2-0 every time.
And now it is 2-0, because Landon Donovan has given the United States what surely must be an unassailable lead with 18 minutes to go. It's the USA 2, Mexico 0. They have been given a penalty for a foul on Clint Dempsey, and it's going to be Dempsey on the occasion of his 100th cap to take this penalty. He's missed, and the pattern doesn't change. It's still 2-0, and there's the final whistle. The USA have won this derby again, but will it be enough for them to qualify for the World Cup? Because the other condition for that to happen is that Honduras have to beat or draw against Panama at home, and that game started an hour after we did. Well, an hour later, and news has come through from Honduras that they've drawn 2-2 with Panama, which is enough to send the USA through to the World Cup for the 7th time in a row, and for Jose Torres to return to the World Cup for a second time.
Gives me the chills just talking about it. I guess growing up as a kid, you're watching the World Cup, and the next thing you know, you're there. So I got a little bit of taste of it, and now, you know, I want everything. You know, I want to play in every game. I want to enjoy that World Cup. I want to be there.